On this week of the Holy Cross, we are commemorating 9/11 and a lot more here in Manhattan, as well as at the St. Narcisse in Armonk. Is that Armenian monk? New York. This is Father Vosgen. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between the spiritual, the emotional, the psychological, and everything in between. This is episode number 536 of The Next Step, and we're inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to The Next Step. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Vosgen provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life. Based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ, we here at epostle.net stay firm to our commitment to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Sometimes you just need to get away from everything. I know you've been there, right? There are times when you need to get away from everything. And then there are other times, well, you found a place that is away from everything. And you're just happy to be there. I am recording from one of those locations. I happen to be at the St. Narcisse Armenian Seminary in a town called Armonk, A-R-M-O-N-K. Yes, short, I guess like short for Armenian monk, right? Armonk, New York. We are in Armonk, New York. Susan and I came here a couple days ago to visit the primate in Manhattan, and they put us up at the St. Narcisse Seminary, Armenian Seminary. Now, we had been here several years ago at the old campus, which was in New Rochelle. This is a new campus in Armonk. I have to tell you, this is just beautiful. Beautiful. It is just away from everything. Greenery, and coming from California where we are experiencing this major drought, this is truly a blessing for the eyes as well. You just see green forever. It's really, really beautiful. We are recording today from the St. Narcisse Seminary. I have a lot to share with you today because also coming out to New York, we had an opportunity to meet with different people, with a variety of people, and I want to share some of that with you as well, coming up in the second portion of today's show. I thought we'd start off with today, is we happen to be in New York, and it also happens to be the week of 9/11, and 9/11, 2001, we all remember that, September 11th, the day that changed us all. No, not just America, it changed everyone, it changed the world. If you've done any traveling, if you've gone through any of the lines, I mean, on that day, on 9/11 this year, we happened to be in Manhattan the first time. I mean, we've, at the very least, we have done 17 commemorations since that time. And now here we are in Manhattan, the first time at what used to be called Ground Zero. I mean, we used to talk about that. I remember coming here just, I would say it was probably a good 5 to 6 months. Let's just say several months after the attack, several months after September 11th, 2001. So it might have even been 2002 that we were here the last time. And I remember going up to the site, what, like I said, what we called Ground Zero. And you could see it was smoldering. It was still smoldering. And just think about it. Months later, it just gives you an idea of the magnitude of what happened. And of course, with those buildings coming down, up went our guard, up went our defenses. And the world has changed. We are in a different state. And we as Armenians, you look at the Armenian Church and you look at the message I shared with you the last couple weeks about the message that we had to give out in Nebraska, where we talked with the United States Air Force, with the with the prop wash gang, and I shared with you that a unique message that we have as Armenians, having been through all that. I shared with you over the summer about dealing with the Indian Orthodox and talking about the opportunity that we were given to be able to talk about our past. I shared all that with you during the last few months. Well, think about it now. 9/11. What do we have to offer? And it was so beautiful, so refreshing that I actually heard this beautiful message, which I want to share with you today. We were in Manhattan. We were visiting the St. Vartan Armenian Cathedral. Specifically, we were visiting inside the Eastern Diocese. It was 9/11 on Tuesday, and Father Daniel Findikian, the primate of the diocese, invited me to participate in the commemorative service. It took place right at noon. A group of worshipers assembled inside the St. Vartan Cathedral for Hokey Honkeys, for Requiem service. Father Daniel spoke, and I have to tell you, it just touched all of our hearts. He spoke about the power of the cross, happened to be the week of the cross. And I was just very thankful because, unfortunately, I didn't know that he was going to speak. We didn't prepare anything to record. And afterwards, I'm just saying to myself, wow, this needed to be recorded. Then I found out later on that Susan had done the recording. So I'm very thankful to her, and I want to share it with you. And I know you'll be thankful for this very special message. This comes to us from 9/11, September 11th, 2018, inside the St. Vartan Armenian Cathedral in Manhattan, New York, Father Daniel Findikian, the primate of the Eastern Diocese.
Our prayers also are for the world, for true peace, lasting peace in a world which is very different now than it was 20 years ago, even. For us in the Armenian Church, we look at this event in a slightly different way, because this sad day falls during a period of preparation for the season of the cross. And we look forward this Sunday to celebrating the feast of the exaltation of the Holy Cross. The cross of our Lord Jesus says two things of great significance having to do with this tragedy. Number one, the cross is the sign that death can come, out of death can emerge light. Out of darkness can come light. Jesus dies on a cross. It's intended to kill him, and what results instead is life, eternal life, divine life, for him and for all of us. So the question for us as we offer these prayers today, among others, is can life emerge out of the tragedy of 9/11? Can some light, divine light even, come forth in the wake of something which otherwise is utter, pure, irredeemable darkness? And the answer for those of Christian faith is absolute, unreserved yes. That's the first message. The second message is what else the cross represents and presents to us as the ultimate symbol of love. And love is the dynamic by which eternal life is possible for all of us, eternal life with God. Love is the antidote to all darkness, all sadness, all injustice, all terrorism, all disease, all pain, all loneliness. And that power is in our hands. We don't know how governments will respond to terrorism. We don't know how our government will continue to evolve in the wake of 9/11, now 17 years behind us. What we have full and complete control over, every one of us in this room, is the extent to which we choose to channel God's love. God's love is just not part of God, it is God. And God's presence dwells within each one of us in Christ. The power with which Jesus is able to rise from true death to true unending life. You and I have that power, that divine force in our hands and in our hearts. And it's up to us to decide whether we will be people of love in this world, in this church, in this diocese, on the third floor or the fourth floor, for the second floor or wherever our desks are. And that's an easy decision, and it's a hard one to realize. But that's the challenge we have every day. My prayer is that all of us, beginning with this one right here, can truly become today and tomorrow, even more so than this morning, men and women of love. Men and women who radiate selflessness. Men and women who choose to build bridges rather than break them. Right? To give up on grudges and anger and all of our childhood injuries that all of us have and can easily spend our lives reflecting on and woeing over. Turn the page and become people dedicated to the goodness and the welfare of other people, whoever they are, wherever they are, beginning with those that are most vulnerable and most in need of that empowering love, most in need of God's loving embrace. We are the arms of God's loving embrace. Let us on this otherwise sad day look to the lights that can come from this tragedy, a real tragedy, not one to be flushed away, but to recall and remember, and in the light of Jesus Christ, transform into action with your hands and my hands, your voice and my voice, your hearts and my heart, in this cathedral, in this diocese, among the Armenian people, and in the world.
With the light of Jesus Christ to transform. Isn't that beautiful? What can you say to that except amen? I mean, this is Father Daniel Findikian, the primate of the Eastern Diocese, who led this small congregation that day. I mean, it was right at noontime, people getting off of work, people coming into the cathedral, and there inside the Armenian cathedral was a message, not just a requiem service, but a message of hope, of light in the midst of darkness. And I'm forever grateful that we had the opportunity to be there to share in that moment. But we also had an opportunity to be at the Eastern Diocese, and there was a couple incidences that I have to share with you. My listeners, some of you I know have read about one of the incidences, maybe not the other one, but one of them that we met with the Horen of Horenyan. And those of you who have listened in the past, and you know that I've shared with you some of the background information about the liturgical music that we play, that we celebrate with on Sunday mornings. And let me just say the most popular of these traditions is probably the Yekmalyan version. Gomidas, I know of at least two churches. I want to say one for sure. I know that's the Oakland St. Vartan, but I know that there's another one, and I can't put my finger on it. There are at least two churches that on a regular basis, namely every Sunday, celebrate the Badarak with the Gomidas version here in America, and I'm sure there are throughout the world. I'd love to hear from you. If you celebrate in these areas, please drop me a line. Let me know where else, okay? I would like to know this. We should have like some kind of a chart of where the Gomidas is being celebrated. The Horenyan is, well, let's say it's the third authorized. I'm going to use that term, authorized, quote-unquote, because they authorize some of these, and this is one of the authorized versions. I'm going to share with you a story coming up in the second portion of today's show and what happened. But before we do that, I want to tell you, so we were inside of the diocese, and there all of a sudden we're talking to this young lady, and Susan says, "It's the Salt Lady." Yes, it was. It was the Salt Lady. Oh, what am I talking about? You know, the bread and salt. Oh, man. It was like just like an excitement. What can I say? It was so exciting. Because, okay, let me back up a little bit, okay? I don't want to say I'm a celebrity, no celebrity status. But, you know, ever since we've been doing these podcasts, we're now in our 11th year. And then we've been doing the videos, the AC101, and there is some sense of a small little quasi-celebrity status. I don't want it to get to my head, but it's kind of fun, I have to tell you, it is fun. Just coming to New York, we went through the security down in Los Angeles, and the guy who was checking the IDs and the boarding passes turned out to be an Armenian guy. And, you know, as I approached him, came in line, you know, he just all of a sudden switched over to Armenian and started saying, you know, oh, man, I watch your videos. I love your videos. Of course, I know who you are, blah, 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 and so on. And so there's an excitement, you know. It's not crazy. It's not crazy celebrity. But it does stop, and it stop a few people in their tracks. And especially because of where I live in the Glendale, Burbank, Pasadena area where I live and I work, you got people that are just, you know, I've gone shopping at night. Susan asked me to pick up something from the local store, and I've been stopped by people who want to tell me that, you know, they watch and who am I and blah, 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 blah. Anyway. Now, we are in the Eastern Diocese, St. Vartan, and all of a sudden we stumble on the Salt Lady. Actually, we were sitting there at lunch when we were together, and Susan said, "This is the Salt Lady." Yes, it was. And so bread and salt, and then we do the AC 101 on the West Coast, and we've got so much going on, and we start sharing notes, we start talking, she shows me the studio, she shows me the equipment that they have over there. We talk about technique, about how things are developed, and we started a small conversation, which I hope in the next few days, while we're still in New York, we'll be able to develop, and maybe possibly a collaboration where we can do some things on East and West. And I have to tell you, I tell you this story because I feel like this entire trip that we've been on, now we're in our third day here, I mean, there have been so many opportunities where it's obvious God is opening up doors. God is giving us opportunities to meet people, to see how things can be moved, how we can use the talents that God gives us to bring about his glory. Today, I had a wonderful chance to here at St. Narcisse to be able to sit in on a class Father Daniel was teaching on baptism and the Badarak and the Divine Liturgy. And it was just so refreshing. I have to tell you that what we sometimes lack, unfortunately, because of manpower, is this continuing education. We don't feed our clergy enough. And I've said this many, many times in the past, but I felt it today, just sitting in on his class. It's refreshing. You need it as clergymen. You give, you give, you give. And at some point, you need to be re-energized. You need to put the batteries back in and get them up to charge. Maybe not a full charge, especially in my case. I don't know if it ever gets to a full charge. But, you know, you need to charge those batteries. And when we get opportunities like this, you have to be very thankful. You have to be appreciative. You have this opportunity to recharge the batteries. Because after all, what is the prayer for the priest? What is the prayer for the priest? You ask, you know, priest asks, pray for me. What are you going to pray for him? What are you going to pray? It's only one prayer. It's that God gives them the strength. God gives them the wisdom. God gives them the opportunities to reach out. You know, in monastic circumstances, the words that we have for one another is Asvadz Oknagan. Many people get really hung up about things like this. They'll come up to you and they'll say, Asvadz Oknagan. And they'll say, oh no, excuse me, you're a married priest, so I need to say Ortnyader. It's like, come on, folks. Come on. Look, let me just explain it. I think there's a video somewhere about this too. Let me explain it really, really basically, because this is such a major, major issue, and it doesn't need to be. In fact, it shouldn't be. Asvadz Oknagan means may God be your helper. You can say that to a priest. You can say that to a lay person. You could say that to a married clergy. You could say it to a celibate priest. Now, what has been a custom inside of the monasteries, you would greet, the priests greet one another, Asvadz Oknagan, May God be your helper. Well, who are the people that are inside the monasteries? They are the monks. They are the celibate priests. Meanwhile, outside the monasteries, you have the married priests. So you, before, you know, it was very, before the genocide, you got to remember when the genocide happened, we had to empty out the monasteries. Whoever was left was called to active duty on the front lines in our churches. So you had the monastics coming into parish life. But way, way long ago, you had the married priests who were in charge of the parish lives. And the common expression is orniaded, or bless me, Lord, bless me, Father. And listen to the responses. Whether you say asvaz oknagan, you say may God be your helper. The response is asvaz bahaban, may God protect you. When you say orniaded to the priest, you're saying bless me, Father. The priest says may God bless you. Look how beautiful that is. It's kind of like a flow, isn't it, right? And there's nothing wrong with asking a celibate priest to bless me. There's nothing wrong with asking a married priest to, or telling a married priest, may God be your helper. It's a beautiful wish. So get away from these ideas that these things are formulas you have to adhere to. Yes, the custom is beautiful. It's very nice. But sometimes people come up to you and they say, and you know what that is? It's this massive confusion that's caused by nothing else except our inability to understand that these traditions are here for us. We are not here for these traditions. As Jesus says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Ortniadir, Asvadzok Nagan were made for man, not man for made for these sayings. So go up to a priest, go up to the people and pray. Pray for them. Say, Asvadzok Nagan, may God be your helper. Go up to the priest and say, bless me. May God's blessings be upon me through you. I acknowledge you as the priest. Anyway, all of this to say that the batteries need to be recharged. We need to pray for our priests, and what beautiful expressions to pray for that strength and that energy. And that's what our prayers are. Listen, we're going to take a break. I always play a song of the day. Every podcast is interrupted into its parts by a song of the day. I have selected something very unusual. Last Saturday night, we had a chance to see Jacob Armin. You say, what? Jacob Armin? Are you serious? Yes, I am serious. Jacob Armin. Who is Jacob Armin? If you don't know, if you remember the old Johnny Carson show, we were very, very excited back in, I think, the 80s it was, when a young Armenian boy, two years old, got up on the Johnny Carson show, a protege, astounded the world. Jacob Armin is a drummer. We knew him. Susan and I had seen him many, many years ago. And we're big fans of his parents, Jenny and Albert Armin. One, Jenny, of course, the singer, Albert Armin, the musician. But Jacob Armin has been this prolific drummer, and now he actually plays the santur too. And not just in Armenian world, he is known internationally. Last Saturday night, he debuted his new album, When Drums Conduct. And we had a chance to go to the Alex Theater in Glendale where we heard him. It debuted his new album. I have the album with me, and I would like to play a selection from that for you and to share with you the excitement that we had last Saturday. Be back in a few moments. Enjoy. Thank you. You know, watching him in concert, we got exhausted. You watch him and you go, whoa, what is this guy for real? Yes, Jacob Armin is the artist we're featuring today, and this is off of his new CD. It is a collection of rhythms that celebrate life. It's called When Drums Conduct, and we were at the album release last Saturday night, September 8th, in Glendale. And I will have a link on today's show notes so you could check out not only the artist, but also purchase the album. Just incredible music, and it makes you really proud. It makes you really proud when you're sitting there. Let me just read you right off of his website. Jacob's list of accomplishments are extensive, beginning with an appearance on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson in 1989 at the age of 7. Okay, you know why I said age 2 earlier? Because we had seen him at age 2. And he did feature those early drums that he played at, I think he said at 18 months. I mean, we had seen him, Susan and I, at age 2. But 1989, he appeared on Johnny Carson and a subsequent feature in People magazine, leading him to press and collaborate with such notables as Jason Scheff of the band Chicago, Patrick Moraz of the Moody Blues, Sheila E., and professor of music and jazz studies Joel Leach at Cal State Northridge, who in speaking to the LA Times enthused that Jacob could play patterns that the most advanced professionals have trouble with. Anyway, do check him out. Wonderful music. That stirs up the soul because of the rhythms, and of course, if you got that little Armenian rhythm going too, kind of like kindles that one up too. Jacob Armin, the artist. It'll be in our show notes today with links that you can check out. Well, we are in New York. We are at the St. Narcisse Armenian Seminary, and I'm sharing with you some of the stories and the events that have taken place, including the 9/11, being at the Eastern Diocese. But what happened the first day we got here, we were sitting at dinner at St. Narcisse, and a gentleman introduced himself to me as one of the professors here. He was here on that first Monday, introduced himself as Maestro Horan. Now, when I heard this, I thought to myself, whoa, could it be? No, but it couldn't be because, you know, I was in Armenia as a seminarian back in the mid-70s, and I remember Maestro Horan. I remember Lucine Zakarian. I remember these events, and I remember these incidents that took place regarding the Divine Liturgy. Because what would happen as seminarians, on Sunday mornings, we would be assigned to some of the local churches to go there and serve as deacons. So many of the times we were not in Etchmiadzin proper, in other words, in the Mother Cathedral, because we were at, I mean, most of the time, we were at different churches wherever our assignment was for that particular week, whether it was Haripsime, whether it was St. Gayane or Asvadzadzin down the street, and sometimes in some of the local villages and even in Yerevan. So we really didn't see too much of what was going on in Etchmiadzin except on major feast days and, of course, major events. So we knew that there was always this little bus, this mashutka, that would travel from Yerevan, and sometimes we'd catch rides on that mashutka, because as seminarians, you know, any way you could get out to Yerevan without paying the fare, you know, you got a freebie, why not take advantage of it? So we'd sometimes travel with this group, and we'd travel with these greats, like Lucine Zakarian, and there was, of course, Maestro Horan, who I knew had written the Horenyan Badarak. Now, as I said earlier, we in the Armenian Church have the Yekmalyan Badarak. We have the Gomidas Badarak. The Yekmalyan is probably the one that's heard most often in most of the churches. Gomidas, less often, but it's there. And the Horenyan, well, not so much. I don't want to speculate as to why. Let's just suffice it to say that it is not as popular as the other one. So here's this guy introducing himself as Maestro Joren, and I'm saying, well, Maestro Joren, I mean, you know, is it possible that he's here? And I kind of had this feeling, but you know, you don't want to say, hey, are you this guy? Because what if it's not, you know? And the guy, because, you know, I was a little kid, and this guy, what if the guy's like 100 years old? You don't want to say, hey, are you this 100-year-old guy? Anyway, it didn't last too long. It was about an hour or so later that I was asking some of the seminarians that were there. I asked, who is this guy? And they said, well, he teaches us music and Armenian liturgical singing. And at that moment, it kind of started clicking. He looked at me and he said, Maestro Joren then came back in. He was there. And he said, we're looking forward to seeing you this Sunday. I heard you're going to be celebrating the Divine Liturgy. And I said, yes, I look forward to it. With God's will, we'll be there. And he listened to my voice and he says, you've got a good baritone voice. He says, we'll be able to sing on those higher keys. Now, don't ask me how this works. I've always wondered about this. With the baritone voice, why does that give you permission to sing in higher keys? But anyway, I just kind of like, not to reveal my ignorance of music, kind of like smiled and, you know, said, okay, thank you. Anyway, when I found out and I made the connections, I figured out this was the Joren of Jorenyan. The seminarians here at St. Narcisse were eager to show me around, and I was anxious to check out my hunch. And I walked into one of the rooms, and there he was. Now, this is the second time I'm meeting him, okay? He was challenging one of the students with a question about Aravot du Sol. Now, you should know, one of my rituals in the morning, my son Sevan buys me this calendar every year at Christmas. It's called the Mensa calendar. And it's like these brain teasers. Every day I do a brain teaser. Well, guess what? I'm in New York. I didn't bring that giant calendar with me, so I didn't do my brain teaser for the day. So, of course, I was just like alerted. I wanted to do this challenge. He was challenging one of the students. He says, of course, Aravot du Sol has 36 verses. He says, 36 verses, of course, corresponding to a letter in the Armenian alphabet. He says, which verse does not rhythmically rhyme or is not repeating of the first character of that letter? For instance, Aravot du Sol, Aris Luisakia, or Seron un Hisus, Siro Kojemia. So the S, the A, the B, the G, you know, it goes on and it's a repeat. It's like these threesomes, these triplets of verses, and three times that sound of the alphabet is repeated, three times in the 36 letters. So he says, which verse is not? So this is the big Mensa puzzle of the day. And I had to get into the act. I was up for the challenge. Now at this time, I figured out this was Maestro Joren. Now, are you with me so far? I hope you are. I'm going to jump all around. I'm really excited about this because there has been this little, it's kind of like a big thing. It is Zarwi Vartian. She's the choir leader who sang at my ordination. She is the choir leader who sang while I was growing up, who filled my ears at St. James, Los Angeles. She was a renowned singer who would do doubling. She would do voiceovers for the studios back in the 40s and 50s. She was a treasure in the Armenian community, treasure at St. James, Los Angeles. Now, at my ordination, she sang a rendition of Marmin Derunagan. And I have kept that rendition with me. It's in my Dropbox. So that Dropbox gets to be with me wherever I am. I said, okay, I'm going to find out from the maestro himself what this rendition is. Who wrote this Marmin de Runagan. And why have I not heard it, aside from Vozarui Vartan? Now, excuse me, I have to say that also in Cupertino, my choir director, Anahid Nalvarian, used to sing it. Okay? So I've heard it twice. I mean, two different people that have sung it. And I said, I need to find out, once and for all, who wrote this? So I opened up my phone and I asked Maestro, I said, would you listen to this and tell me what it is? So he listened to it and he says, I have to confess that I've never heard this. I've never heard this version. But he says, here's my guess. And true to form, a maestro is just what the word is. Here's a maestro. He was sitting at his keyboard and he started playing it. He started playing differences in the chord progressions of that Marmin de Runagan. And he says, my guess is that this was probably a little bit of Catholic influence. There was probably a little European influence. He said, remember, he said, our Armenian hymns are from the villages. It is with the soul of the villager that they are sung. He says, this is what Gomidas Vartabed, referring to the song that I played, he says it's what Gomidas Vartabed would call the urbanized Armenian hymn. And so he didn't know, but he gave me a nice background. Anyway, that was it. That was enough for me. I confirmed this is the Choren of Chorenyan. And now I am in the presence of this man. And I'm sitting there, and we're sitting one-on-one with the man who wrote one of the three authorized melodies of the Divine Liturgy. And now in front of his keyboard, we're about to hear the story of how our church took on a new form. And this, of course, excites me, because what do we do here? What do we talk about? What is actually the next step? It's not abandoning the past, but basically to take on the new forms, to be able to articulate the message for today. So he shared his story. He begins, and this is really important, I want to say this. He begins his story by saying, I'm not a composer. I direct choirs. I'm a choral leader. And this humble admission tells me that this is a story of a man who is really giving of himself. It may seem like an accident of events, but in fact, when you go into that humble mode and you say this, and I have to tell you, throughout the whole time we talked, he said this on several occasions, I'm not a composer, I direct choirs, I'm a choral leader. You realize we have found out how the divine, how God works in our lives. He uses us what we may not expect. He uses what we may not expect in ways that bring about his glory. Okay, so here's the story. Choren Mechanegian was the choir director at the Mother Cathedral of Holy Echmiadzin. And among his many singers that were inside of his choir was Lucine Zakaryan. Very, very celebrated, beautiful voice. She was sometimes referred to as the Nightingale of the Armenian Church, if not the Nightingale of Armenia. The Catholicos of the time, during this time that Choren was leading the choir, was the Venerable Vazgen I, who literally had a front row seat at every Balarak at Echmiadzin. I mean, that was his seat. So he knew what was going on. He knew what was twirling around. He knew who was singing. They were doing. One Sunday, the Catholicos calls Maestro Choren into his office following one of the Balaraks, the celebration of the Balarak, and he has a criticism. He says, the way Lucine Zakaryan is singing Miyain Surp, Lucine is accenting the syllable mi in Miyain. And this conjures up negative imagery. Now, I want you to think, if you're Armenian, you probably know, but there's like this annoying mi. It's go, mi. Yeah, it's really annoying. It's like when kids are playing around, you know, you like go and you'll touch, you get really close and they'll say, don't touch them. So you get like within a few millimeters from the person, like you're almost touching. The person goes, me, me. And the Catholicos was cognizant of this, that it doesn't sound right. Me is such a negative expression. Me, it means do not. Minestir, you know, don't sit. Mi, Josir, don't speak. So me is such a negative. And Lucina was accenting in that song. Mi, ein. She was going, mi, ein. So instead of accenting placing the accent on the second syllable of the word, she was doing it on the first. So it was coming out, mi, instead of me on. Okay, so the criticism came from the Catholicos. It says to Joren, go and instruct Lucina to sing me on, accenting the second syllable. After the Badarak, they're in that mashutka, and Joren tells Lucina, you know, this is what the Catholicos says. And she says, I understand. The following week, they get to church, and Lucina does the same thing. After church, the Catholicos invites Joren into his office. He's essentially ready to chew him out. And Joren says, no, I did tell her. So they stop the mashutka, the little bus, and they bring Lucina into the office. And Joren does confess, you know, he says, I was relieved. The fault was off of me. It wasn't my fault at this point. Lucina did say that, yes, Joren told me, but, you know, this is what I did. Third week, Lucina still didn't do it. And at this point, the Vehapar, the Catholicos, said, okay, you know, that's it. He was really upset with this. So Joren thought, why don't I just write the music? Why don't I express it in notes? Because Lucina, accomplished musician, she would be able to read it. So Joren does go ahead and he writes it out. And of course, it's exactly what they wanted to do. So it's Mi-ein. Okay, so we've got this first Mi-ein done. Now he starts talking about, there's also expressions of Amen, Heitzur, Vortizur, Pokizur. He says, what do we do? He says, we repeat those. The melody line, and he started playing in front of us. He started playing the melody lines, and he showed us that these are repeated. And he says, the theology of the Armenian Church is Yerek Ansink Yev Mipunutyun, three persons in one nature. So he said, how could I develop a pattern where we're sharing that musical notation? In that musical notation, we understand that there are three unique persons, but there is also one united God, Godhead, one united nature. And so he composes the music for Amen Haidsur Vortisur Pokitsur, and that flies. The Catholicos loves it. Now the Catholicos calls and he says, okay, you've got to do Der Vormia for me. Now Der Vormia is one of those things that you do not touch. You know, people weep, people cry. And Joren he says, I'm not touching that. He says, I can't do that. And the Vehapar insisted, the Catholicos insisted, you will do the Der Vormia for me. You will rewrite it. Now, Joren said that he lived by Dzidzer Nagapert. Dzidzer Nagapert is the monument to the Armenian genocide. And so there's this eternal flame there. It's a very mystical place. It conjures up images of the past. It reminds you of our today. It makes you look towards the future. And he said, I prayed about it. I sat there. It was absorbed into me. And then on his keyboard, he started playing for me. And we started tearing up. We started tearing up just listening to his story. So he took the music for Der Vormia to Lucina's house and played it for her on the piano. And she sang it. And they worked together to perfect the harmonies. And he says, my head was spinning. My head was hurting. Was hurting from the stressful demand that was put upon me because of this project. So he turns to Lucina Zakaria, this famed singer. He says, would you make me a cup of coffee? My head is really hurting. She goes inside. He says, I'm playing on the piano. She's singing from inside the kitchen. and she brings the coffee. She serves him the coffee, and he can't drink it. Why? Because instead of sugar, she's mistakenly put salt in there. And he mentions this story just to express to us that as much as he was stressed, of course, to produce this hymn, she was stressed equally. Anyway, the Khorenyan Derv Ormia was being sung at the Sunday Badaraks from that point on. The Catholicos Vazgen was very, very moved by it. He was moved to tears. He said, and Khoren could not even understand this because, you know, it was his creation. But Vazgen Vahapad was moved to tears. One time a group of nuns came from Rome, and they were all wiping tears away, and the Catholicos calls Khoren over and says, look, it's not just me. People are feeling it. People are moving. And, you know, this encourages Khoren to go on, and he starts developing. But now the Catholicos is upping the ante, and he says, I want the entire Badarak written. And this was going over the top. As I said earlier, Khoren humble. He says, I'm not a composer. He says, I can't do this. He says, and we have enough Badaraks. We have Ekmalya, we have Gomidas. And here's some of the brilliance or the wisdom of Catholicos Vazgen. He knew how to get what he wanted. And he turns to him and says, you know, the Catholics have 20 or 30, maybe even 40 different renditions of the Divine Liturgies. He says, is it too much to ask for us to have a third one? And so Khoren was kind of stuck, but he still protested. He said, you know, we have Baba Janyan, we have Aram Khachaturian. He was still alive at the time. He says, they are composers. I am a church leader. And the Vahapar said, yes, but they have not breathed in the Khung, the incense of the Armenian church. The church is in your system. And with that, he found the encouragement, the strength to write the Khorenyan Badarak. It was celebrated once a month in Etchmiadzin and in several churches throughout Armenia. He admits that was the case only because Catholicos Vazgen really insisted upon it with his bishops, many of whom had expressed opposition to anything new. But the Catholicos was there and covered his back. This was my experience here in New York, meeting the Khoren of Khorenyan. And the reason why I wanted to share this with you, and it is on a blog too, because these are how changes take place. As much as we want things to take place, changes to take place, you need to have that duality of laity and clergy. Yes, Khoren might have had the music, but you needed a Vazgen Vahapar to push it, to prop him up. And it's in the same way, whether it's music, whether it's the changes that we want in administration, it's the changes we want in the general policies, in the way we interact with one another. It's to understand that we come together, that there's a mutual understanding, a mutual respect, and with prayer and with devotion, by bringing it into our system, we can see those changes. This was to me a very special, special meeting, to meet the Khoren of Khorenyan. It was even more special because of the work that I'm committed to do. The next step that we want to take in our lives and understand music as the metaphor for something even greater. I'll leave you with that right now. Let Susie make her announcements. And I'll be back in a few moments to close it up today. And I'll tell you the answer too. Yeah, to the Mensa puzzle.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Well, thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you for all of your prayers, your support, your suggestions, your notes that you send me. And I know, before you start writing me right now, I did throw that out at you. The Mensa puzzle solution, the Mensa for that day. Right? Joren, the maestro, asked his students, he asked me, what is the one verse in Aravod Luso where the sound does not repeat in that triplet of sounds? And it is the verse that begins with Vo. The letter Vo is kind of an interesting letter because at the beginning of the word, it makes a VO sound, Vo. In the middle of a word, it makes an O sound. And combined with the small yun, it makes the U sound. It's a diphthong. So all of a sudden, what you got is this letter vol, which also is the beginning of Ura Chatzur. So the vol sound comes out in one of the words, the U sound comes out in another word, and therefore, in this triplet of words, that's the letter that doesn't work. Solution, okay? Hey, listen, I want to thank you for joining us right now. We're going to end today's show. We are still in New York, and by arrangement of the primate over here, and with your prayers, I look forward to celebrating the Divine Liturgy this Sunday at St. Vartan's Armenian Cathedral in Manhattan. And then in the evening at 6 o'clock, the primate is calling together all the clergy in the area to come together for a very special procession at the celebration of the exaltation of the Holy Cross. It is one of the major feast days of the Armenian Church. We're looking forward to praying together, to sharing together, and to receive the blessings that come from Christ's Holy Cross. I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. Yes, I am in New York. This file now gets sent over to Ken, who does his magic, who sends over to Susie. We are in three remote locations, but by the miracles of technology, this should be in your hands very soon. I want you to pray for us. Asmats Oknagan. May God be your helper. It's okay to say that. May God be all of our helpers. Okay, just a quick reminder, we're at all the usual locations. Do check out today's show notes, and do check out all of social media where we find blogs, and we find writings that take place throughout the week, and always get in touch with us. Easiest way is feedback@epostle.net. Epostle, easy to remember, it's apostle with an E. Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. On behalf of Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Vazquez inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
I forgot to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are.